God bless everybody. Thank you, Father, for another day that we get to get together in your name and for the sole purpose of welcoming you to come and collect us. Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord. You have found a body in the land that loves you. We love one another, and we're so excited to see you. And your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven in our lives and in the world. And we love you, and we thank you, and we trust you. As things are ramping up, we know that our departure is imminent. It is so exciting, everybody. Jerry has out of town. He's driving back into town with his oldest daughter that's off at college. They're all going to be together, so he won't be calling in because they are on the road, but he's doing great. So God bless you, Jerry. Thank you. We miss you, like always. So there's a lot to report. Right now, Satan, a.k.a. Obama, and I mean that literally, he's the Antichrist. He is giving an address to the nation tonight. He hasn't done many of these, so this is a pretty big deal. I just can't stomach it. So if somebody's watching it, if you can kind of tell me what it's about, it's probably going to be about taking your guns and terrorism. Hi, Carol. Hi, Rosemary. Love you guys. They're in chat. If you want to call in and share it, feel free. There's Raina, baby. Hi, Raina. Raina's here. We love you, Raina and family. Okay, so feel free to call in and share. I was just going to look at what people said about the speech later. I don't really, can hardly stomach hearing him talk. I like to hear the words of God, not the Antichrist. but if it's fulfilling scripture, I can stomach it, so somebody can tell me. So I'm going to read a word by this guy named Swift Passage, his YouTube channel. I like his messages, so I'm going to give the one he got for today. Tell my people the time has come to give your life to me. Tell them, my son, the timing of utter chaos and devastation will take place at any moment of any day. The world powers are preparing for this event. Tell them this is the beginning of the greatest event ever in human history. These events foretold in the Holy Bible, Book of Revelation. My children, the light of the world will soon vanish, leaving behind darkness. Tell them to turn their souls to me. The time is close for my return. Tell them my Father has begun the preparations for my coming. Tell them my kingdom is prepared and waiting for you all. All you have to do is surrender your life to me. Come, my children, come and experience everlasting life. Thank you for giving that word. I don't know you, but I like your words. They're very to the point. So that's a good word. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Carol, I was planning on you. Carol's like, I can't watch him either. He's going to speak. I know. I was planning on Carol being the news lady, though. I had a feeling. But now we don't even, Carol's not going to watch it. So that's okay. We'll just wait for Ricky Scapero or somebody at End Time Headlines to talk about it. yeah, I hear you guys. Yeah, I hear you, Carol. No problem. No. I'd much rather be meeting here than listening to him. But I just thought out of curiosity you would watch that. Anyway, no big deal. Yay. So also, there is another message given by Jesus Rules. I don't know their channel. It was just in the comment section of Swift Passages comment section, and I liked it. I liked this word. I think this is a word for the worldwide rapture people. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Time quickly approaches, my children, and in an instant, things will change. War and financial collapse are imminent. Do not be dismayed, for I have warned you many times, for you are in the time of sorrows, and dark times lay ahead. When you see these things, quickly fall to your knees in prayer to intercede for family members and lost souls. Your catching away will be in an instant of the bombs falling. That really goes in line with, like, Kleck's word. I think that's the worldwide rapture, people. All of heaven is on full alert for the anticipation of what is about to take place. Your pets even long for your reunion with joy, along with your relatives whom have passed on. Ain't that cool? I love that word, because he told my son about the pets in heaven. So all things in heaven are prepared, and just wait for the command, my Father, to come for my bride. My heart leaps for joy when I think of this. Finally, we shall be together forever. All temptations and evil thoughts shall disappear in an instant. Yay! I hate, like, yucky thoughts. I really do. Sometimes I have negative thoughts and toward people when I'm tired and I get annoyed and I'm like, I wish I didn't think that. Anyway, it's going to be great not to deal with those anymore. Things that were not possible on earth shall be in heaven, for your pets will have conversations with you and you will be able to think of a place to be in heaven, and whoosh, you shall be there instantly. Your mansions are ready down to the very last detail. He told my son that too, that they were ready. And I know in your heart what you like and desire. I'm excited to see the looks on your faces. It will be beyond human comprehension. The rewards I have stored up for you, beloved. I love you, my bride. So that was a really cool word. And I remember the day that he showed my son, the angels were really busy working on our mansions. And there was a guard angel, because you weren't allowed to go in because they were working on them. Well, and then I'll never forget the day my son had the vision, Mom, the angels are done. All the mansions are prepared for the bride. And he said, they're done. So I just, I like that. I liked both of those words. Thank you, God, for giving words. So we know that Jesus is coming. Okay, Carol, thanks for checking it on Dredge for us. Just in case. I mean, you know, he could say something like World War III has begun. You never know. Why does that make me laugh? Oh, my goodness. I love you, Jesus. So anyway, guys, I love you. I am ready. I bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 new hats. I wear these cute little caps with my outfits, and I hadn't bought any for so long, and all the ones that I had been wearing were just so dirty. You can't even clean them. They just looked horrible. So I've been wearing a new hat every day. It's the only thing I wear. Jesus, you know, it's kind of cool to have my head covered. I never thought of it like that. Why I went into this hat frenzy a couple years ago. I always wear a hat. And then I thought about that scripture. Maybe the Lord had me do that because, you know, it talks about women or people having their head covered. I mean, I don't believe you have to do that, but I'm just saying maybe that's why I always have a hat on. Jesus wanted me covered. Anyway, so please call in if you have any flirts to share. That's why we have this service. We love you, Jesus. We welcome you, Father. We can't wait for you to come. We just gather in your name. Your will be done at your service today, your will. This is our time to gather and worship you, and we open up the lines if anybody wants to share the beautiful ways you have been working with them. So call in, guys. My flirt, I shared in a previous show. I think it was it yesterday I called in? Yeah. So he's coming. He's good. I don't want to repeat it again, but it was wonderful. And I'm trying to think of today. What did he do? Today's just been a very restful day of gratitude and thanksgiving and rest. God is wonderful. Got to take my dog out and just enjoy the day. And my son had his friend over, and it's just been a relaxing day. I'm feeling low energy for some reason. So I just, you know, I'm just resting today pretty much. And got 2 weeks left of work until Christmas break. If we're here, I don't know. I'm loving Michelle's the 14th, the Monday date set. I'm loving date sets for all this week. That'd be neat if God comes to get us when Marty is 8 months old. He's 8 months old on the 22nd. Number 8 completion or something. Anyway, guys. God bless you. I'm going to play some worship. Let me just look on the news real quick and see what our satanic. The only reason why I'm curious is obviously because it's fulfilling Bible prophecy. So I'm just a little curious, but I can't stand it. Jason A. did a video on what's happening. I sent a video out, which is very rare for me to do that. So I hope you guys got it and enjoyed it. It was really on my heart to send that out to everybody. I love Greg Hunter. I like the guest he had on. And I hope you enjoyed that financial update. Gerald Celente was his guest, and he just did some predictions on gold and silver and World War III, which he believes could happen now, any day, and indefinitely in 2016. So this is exciting when you get such reputable people that I believe God has put in these positions, who don't outrightly preach Jesus, but I really do think most of them are believers. Of the news people that God has led me to watch, like Greg Hunter and Manorino, they say God bless you and stuff. Anyway, I think they are believers and they know what's coming. Anything else? I'm trying to see if there's any flirts. So I think that Steve Ben-Danoon has been, the last couple of videos he's put out, he is matching things up in the Bible pretty cool. So I've been enjoying those. I feel like he's been putting things together, and it's really cool. So good job, Steve Ben-Danoon. And since I had a restful day, was able to catch up on some things, and one of the things that really made me laugh was Russia is banning GMOs, and they want to become the exporter of clean food by 2020, which is 4 years. And I like that. I like that. I just laugh because they can't even feed their own people. They're going to, like, feed the world no GMO food, but whatever. You know what? At least people are trying. You go, Vladimir Putin, because I like you much better than our satanic antichrist president. thanks, Rosemary. So Rosemary said on the TV screen for CNN, it says, Obama, we will destroy ISIS. Yeah, you created ISIS. But yeah, you will, because that's the chaos you've created, and then you have to bring order to it. So that's pretty consistent. I expected nothing less. Thank you, Rosemary, for the soundbite there in the chat room.
Yes. Controlled chaos, controlled order.
Yes, he's a hero. He's our satanic hero in the White House, in the Black House. It's okay. It's God's judgment on America. And he told me illegal aliens aren't destroying this nation. I'm destroying this nation. He told me that when I was cleaning the toilet. So God wants full credit for it. He doesn't even want Obama to get full credit for it. God is destroying. God builds nations up and he tears nations down. And that's what he is doing. He built the earth, and the earth is getting cleansed by God. So he's ultimately doing it. I don't want to give Obama, the Antichrist, that much power. He's only doing what his father's allowing him to do right now. So good job, Satan. You're doing what your father let you do. Good job. Oh, Carol called in. All right. Hi, Carol. I thought you'd never call. Share with us.
Oh, golly. I tell
host.
You.
You should host
it,
once
I know,
a week.
I know, but you know what? I'm listening and I'm usually writing.
No worries.
I told you guys. All the drama I went through with my sister-in-law and my niece when we were in Fort Worth. And, you know, my sister-in-law calls me every week, sometimes twice a week. And, you know, she's going through a lot of stuff, you know, like everybody, blah, blah, blah. But but more recently, she has been inquiring about the events of the world and what's happening and what she sees. And she told me this, you know, back when we were in Fort Worth. But because she's so opinionated and whatever. You know, it's hard, sometimes it's hard to really fellowship with someone. You know, they're not quite on the same page because, well, you know how it is. So, anyway, when we were in Fort Worth, she told me, I asked her, first of all, I asked her, do you think we're living in the end times? And she said, oh, yes, and I believe Obama is the Antichrist. I just know he's the Antichrist. And I thought, wow, that's very interesting. Okay, but then all the drama continued, and it has continued, and so on and so forth. But with everything now happening, you know, she's been asking me a lot of questions, and I have been ministering a lot to her and her brother who lives with her over the phone and you know, through emails. And you guys know I'm a Bible thumper, but I do it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I do it with love. And so Pardon?
Hey, you make Bible thumping look good. Let's put it that way. Carol makes Bible thumping look good.
Well, you know what she said to me last night? She said, Carol, I can't believe that George didn't receive the Lord as you shared with him, like you're sharing with me. And I said, well, he did he did receive what I had to share, but it's a matter of the heart opening up. The heart has to open up. The Holy Spirit has to open up, and we have to allow and permit the Holy Spirit to open our heart so we can receive God's word. If we don't, you know, we're going to be kicking and screaming and arguing that, oh, you know, no, I can't believe. Because as I told her, and I'm telling you guys, my brother was very intellectual. So everything was from the mind, and I explained to her, you cannot know God with the mind. You have to know him through your spirit. I explained it like this. Look, we need air, we need oxygen to live. We breathe it in all the time. It's a fact, and it doesn't matter if we understand the science of it or not. We breathe because there's oxygen in the air. We can't see it, we can't feel it, we can't smell it, we can't touch it. But it's there, 24/7, whether we're asleep, whether we're awake, whether we're sick, whether we're healthy, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. It's there. We cannot live without this air. I said, it's the same thing. If I tell you air doesn't exist, how are you going to prove it? And I know that it exists, and you know that it exists because we're alive. We can't breathe. We cannot live without it. Try holding your breath and see what happens. How long will you not be able to breathe or live, right? Okay, so I said, my brother was trying to figure out God with his mind. You can't figure out God with your mind. You know, he is spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. It's spirit. He's spirit. We're spirit. And it just, you know, and you cannot read the Bible without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because if you read the Bible without the Holy Spirit opening the eyes of your understanding, then the Bible is dead. The letter, the word of God in Romans tells us the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So why, you know, so why are there so many?
Amen, Carol, amen.
Why? So we see the reason that the organized church is in disarray and people have lost their desire to get to know God, because for centuries, and especially in these last 20, 30 years, since I believe since the 50s, they just preached the dead letter. That's it. There was no spirit. And why is that? Because they all went to Bible school. They all went to go get their little degrees and their little labels that said, I'm a pastor, I'm a bishop, you know, I'm a priest, you know, I'm a cardinal, I'm a bishop, I'm a whatever. They all went there, and now they think they're all, you know, above the fray. Oh, well, I've got this title. So, oh, and then once the technology of TV, you know, came in, you know, all these preachers decided, oh, we can reach the multitudes through our TV, through TV. And of course, what are they doing? They're getting people to look at them. Oh, this preacher's so good. Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, oh, Pat Robertson. Oh my goodness, oh, how they preach so well. And then you go to one of their services. Oh, there he is. Oh, let me touch him because he's so close to God. He's so close to God. I want that anointing. And we all fell for that. And then we got people got suckered into giving their tithings and their money and their offerings to them, because if we didn't, they scared us with a scripture that says that we would be stealing from God. They mistranslated that scripture, they misused it, and they used it to, as a scare tactic. And when and if people, if we believers would stop and realize we never paid for our salvation, so why do we have to pay for us to get a good teaching on the radio or on TV or from a book or from a DVD? Buy my books, buy my DVDs, buy my CDs. You know, oh, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. When all we have is, all we need is the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us and speak to us and counsel us and comfort us. And when we read God's word and we open the Holy Scriptures, and we already have that relationship going with Him, then we read the word and the word comes alive. Hebrews tells us the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's operating in us. Well, how is it operating in us? Because we have this beautiful relationship, loving relationship with our God, with our Creator. He speaks to us, we speak to Him, we walk together, you know, hand in hand. We love Him, He loves us, He protects us, He takes care of us, He provides for us. We don't need some preacher on TV or some guy on the pulpit telling us, you know, what God wants from us. And that's why people have been turned off. So my sister-in-law is telling me, last night, you know, she grew up as a Nazarene or in the Christian Reformed Church, or, you know, up in Michigan, where there's a lot of religious people up there. And, you know, she was telling me, oh, I rebelled. I hated going to, we had to go to Sunday service every, you know, we went twice a day, twice on Sunday. And every Sunday they had the same routine doing the altar call with Just As I Am, singing the song Just As I Am, I Come, you know, and everybody goes. And what she's telling me, you know, is that there was no love and no life in those services. They were dead. And so, you know, she rebelled, but she had... She still somewhere when as a child received the Lord Jesus, as did her only brother. They received the Lord, but they got tired of religion like everybody else, and so they went their separate ways. But see, now the Lord is pulling them. He's drawing them back to Himself, because that's what our Father does. He's the one who draws us, and He's drawing them. So she's telling me the one thing, she says, Carol, I cannot understand the Bible. I don't know how to... the Bible, she tells me, is too hard to read. There may be a lot of passages I don't understand, or a lot of stuff. I never share from the scriptures what I don't know. I don't share anything that just because it says so. I don't share any of that. I only share what the Lord has done in me and how it has matched His word, and so it's been awesome. So then she tells me, but the one thing I do know is when Obama came into office, I remember calling you and telling you he's the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist. Now she wasn't even walking with the Lord, but she just knew. And I explained to her, that revelation was the revelation from the Holy Spirit telling you, watch out, watch this guy. He's a rat, he's evil, and he's the Antichrist. God Himself told you that. That's why, if you didn't know anything else, and you knew that, that's because He told you, the Holy Spirit told you, and you listened. You listened to Him. So, so now I have been sharing a lot of what is going on, how it applies to the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and, you know, where we are. And, you know, I'm helping her and her brother. Well, not me. The Holy Spirit is using me. God is using me to share and explain God's word to them so that they can be really ready, okay? Because a lot of people believe we're living in the end times, but that doesn't guarantee the translation or the rapture if they are not washed in the blood of the Lamb. We all have to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And if we don't know anything about the blood, shame on us for not explaining it to people. So this is my not just my passion, but my assignment. The Lord has revealed so much to me in His Word about His precious blood, about the power of the name of Jesus, you know, where we are in time, about the translation, about the rapture. So as He leads, then, I am used by Him, and I bring God's word to people. And because at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to say, well, I did not know. All I knew is that, you know, the Antichrist is Obama, and that Jesus was coming. But if you are not washed in the blood of the Lamb because you don't know anything, you know, I have to be, I'm going to be responsible, because I understand and I didn't follow through. So I'm following through as the Holy Spirit leads. And then, you know, and they're just so excited. They're like, you know, I've never heard anyone explain the Lord's word like you have. And that's, you know, hey, that's just, and they don't even understand what the anointing is. So I have to even, you know, I say, well, it's that there's nothing like the presence of God. And I'm trying to explain to them what the presence of God is so that they can enter into His presence, because religion doesn't lead us into the presence of God. You know, and so, and with all the drama that's going on, they just need that little extra push. But, you know, what is so exciting is, and it's confirmation that the Lord is saving our families and that He is coming now. I mean, you know, my brother was 63 when he passed away, and it was on his deathbed that he said, yes, I will pray with you. And, you know, if you all remember, my sister-in-law did not believe that he prayed. She didn't even want me to talk to him about God because, you know, George Wood was an atheist and he didn't believe, and no, he'll get mad. He'll get mad, Carol, he'll get mad. And now she's like, wow. And I just explained to her, now she believes me that my brother really did get saved. And now I'm able to tell her how much I prayed over him while I was in the hospital. When nobody was there, I prayed out loud for him. He couldn't kick me out, and he couldn't say anything. So he felt the presence of God on him. The presence of God fell on him, whether he understood or not. The presence of God fell on him. And so when I asked him, can I pray over you? He said, yes. And I prayed over him. And then I asked him, do you want to pray with me? And he said, yes. He could have said no throughout the whole entire time. And I explained this to her. Remember, we would ask him, do you want to watch TV? And he would say no. He knew what he wanted, what he didn't want. And when he would ramble off and act all, you know, because of the stroke and because of the medications, and he didn't know, he was not coherent. We got it, but there were moments when he was coherent. So I told my sister-in-law, had he said yes, I'll pray, and he, and as we prayed, as I led him into prayer, if his words became incoherent, I would have stopped. If he had told me, I don't want to pray, I would not have forced him. I would have respected him. He would have made that choice, but he didn't. He chose to pray, and his words were perfect, and they came out very clear. There was no, you know, slurs or there wasn't any of that. There was no nonsensical garble coming from him. It was clear, and we prayed for about 5 minutes. So, you know, whether he understood or not, he prayed, and my sister-in-law now believes me and now understands, and she is, but her daughter,
testimony. Jesus, I just want to give God thanks for doing that. It's amazing, Carol.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But her daughter's still struggling. Oh, she's awful. She's just awful. When she was over there for Thanksgiving, you know, she kind of got into it with my sister-in-law, and so she decided to leave, and as she's leaving, she tells her mother, she says this to her mother, your words are like dust. I have to put boundaries between your words and you know, me, because your words are like dust and your brain is like Swiss cheese. That's what her daughter said to her mother. Then I had to explain to her, to my sister-in-law, because she's getting closer to the Lord, she and her brother are getting closer to the Lord, Satan is using her daughter to attack her, because he doesn't want us to get closer to the Lord. Not because he cares about our relationship with the Lord, because the closer we get, the stronger the glory is on us, and the quicker his doom is. And that's what he's afraid of. He's afraid of his doom. He knows he's doomed, but he's afraid that it's coming quicker than he thought, faster than he thought. So I explained to her, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the principalities and powers of the darkness of this world, and we're fighting against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And you may not understand it, I told her. But remember, there is a spirit realm, and it's more real than our physical realm. It's just that we're so used to seeing, you know, a roof over our head, a floor. You know, we're bound by gravity. We see everything, you know, we see the cars and the stores and the homes and the trees and the birds and the mountains and we live in a physical realm, but the spirit realm is far more real. We have angels, you know, watching over us, but we can't see them, but yet we know. We know they're there. We believe in God, yet we do, with our physical eyes, we can't see him, but we know he's real. We know he's real. And so I have to try to explain to her, the more you just let it go and, you know, pray for her salvation, the quicker she's going to get saved too. Because I truly believe now in household salvation. I just did not ever expect this turn of events. When I came back to San Antonio and my sister-in-law was calling me, I was like, oh, dear Lord. Not again. Do I have to listen to her? You know, the whine and the complaints and the blah, 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 blah. But look what prayer does. And look what a revelation does to a person. Because who is she going to tell? You know, her relatives are believers, but they don't understand about the end times. Yet God told her Obama's the Antichrist. So she's asking me questions now. And so, you know, for me and for all of us, it's confirmation of how quickly the Lord is coming now. He is coming. And we, you know, and she believes. And my, and
amen. Yes.
And her brother, oh, you got to hear this part. Her brother
yes.
is talking to me. Her brother was talking to me over the phone. And I explained to him about the bride of Christ. And he says, I said, and I'm gonna go up in my red my ruby red stilettos. And he says, well, if I'm
you part go,
of
girl.
The and he says if I'm part of the bride, I guess I'll go with in red. And red stilettos too.
Click them three times and get us up there, honey.
And then he said, well, how about if I just go in ruby red slippers? I think I'll just do that. I think I'll just go up in ruby red slippers.
You might try.
You know, it is. It's just so wonderful. So I wanted to share all of that. You know,
sure.
So you all know what's going on in my life and what God
yeah.
is doing and how He's using. And then, Pat, are you on the phone too?
Yes, honey, I'm here. Hi, guys.
Yes.
Love you.
Okay.
Welcome,
well, you know,
Pat.
when I got
hi, sweetie.
When
hi.
I got your when we
hi.
Got your email that you got up really early, and guess what? I was up at 5:30 this morning, and
I
usually I am dragging. But no, not this morning. I was not dragging. I got up at 5:30 and I started meditating and praying and I started reading and I started another post to my sister-in-law and her brother.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
It's been an amazing week for me and for all of us. Because the time
oh, yeah.
oh. is now. The time
so,
is now, guys. The time is now.
It's so encouraging to hear what God has done in your family, Carol. And I just, I mean,
oh,
this
yeah.
is wonderful. Who would have thought that we were going to know that when God brought your brother to your house and he was acting out and all of that, who would have known that was his last interaction, really, with God, you know, being
yeah.
with you. I mean,
exactly.
And look what he doing. It's I think about it all. I mean, I remember I was there and you were telling us stuff
yes.
that was going on. But I have to say,
yes.
has called in and I'm dying to hear about this dream because I haven't been able to check my emails. So
oh,
what
okay.
has gone on? Please
let's
share
go,
with
go.
Us.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, I'll just you know what? I'm just going to read it to you as I have it. If that's okay.
Yes,
it's
by all means.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know me, I embellish, but I'm going to try. I tried to write this out as best I could do here. Just hold on a second. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I've got so much stuff here. It's just awful. Hang on, guys.
No pressure.
Oh, hang on, guys.
No pressure.
Okay. Oh, dear me. I had it here for you guys. Oh, I know. Oh, just bear with me a second. I had this to... Oh, dear God. See, I'm trying... Hold on. Let me try to get the right one here. I've got...
Can you get your email?
I got it. Yeah. What?
Can you read it?
Oh, yeah, I'm
going
to read it. Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I just had it.
Oh.
Oh, God's sakes, dear. Excuse me. I don't mean to be sorry, Lord. I just,
Because I have the email.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Guys, what's wrong? See, Satan, I'm telling you, I could feel the attacks of the enemy today. He did not want this on. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Go to your scent box.
What, dear?
And go to the scent box on your menu.
Yeah, no, I have it. Hold on. I've got. Okay. Are you ready? Okay.
Yes.
You give me about 4 minutes to read this thing. I'm just going to read it as I have it. Okay. Okay. I ask the dear Holy Spirit to help me remember this without too much rambling. As you know, I have a bad habit sometimes. But anyway, I think you need to hear every bit of this because it all plays into each other. Okay. But there are some things that happened after her dream to her, and after she came up the stairs to relate this dream, teary-eyed and excited. I have to take a... All right, Sean was here, but I was okay. To start, I got to sleep about 3:30 a.m. Guys, this is almost every night. He just has me up, yakking and talking. Sometimes he'll say, go to sleep, you know, I don't want nothing. And other times it's like to all hours, because he knows I can take a nap in the day. He knows, like a bunch of you guys... We're all his. He's got every second, okay? So, okay, sometimes I can't sleep, but I think a lot of us have this from time to time, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I was having an intense dream about family members. I'm going to get into that.
Pat.
Yeah.
Pat.
Yes.
Pat.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I have not been sleeping, and I don't know why. And Jerry said the same thing. He's been up every hour for the last three days, and so have I. It's why I'm so tired right now, and it pisses me off because I have things to do.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to say that. Okay, so go ahead. Read her.
Yeah, no, this is every night. Every night. He'll tell me, get off the computer. I'm waiting for you. And very lovingly. He says this to all of us because he wants all the time he can have with all of us because we're his brides. And he's lonely, you know, because we make up for the love. Anyway, here we go. But I was having an intense dream about family members, which I will not go into right now, maybe another day. It was weird, too. But I don't remember it all well. I shot up at 8:30 a.m. about and wondered why I was not more tired. I even lay back down, but I couldn't sleep. And I said, there's a reason I got to be up. This time plays into Laura's coming up to see me, though. So I'm having coffee, feeling a bit tired, but thinking we will go to an earlier church service rather than 12. And we did. We went to 10:30. That's fine. But sitting at the table about 8:45 this morning, and this is important, up comes Laura, and I could see from her face something. As the dogs, this is weird too, guys. Maybe you're going to relate to this too. This is about the dogs. And the dogs are with her, and they were... And we both noticed they were acting just odd, some more excitable. But she let them on the deck as usual. But we just looked at each other. She had started to tell me she had this very intense dream. I could tell by her eyes it affected her a lot. She had tears. She was very not agitated, but like really like not even upset, but excited. And she also mentioned, "This day is different. I feel it." And I have to agree, but not sure just what. Then she related the dream. Now she told me later she has had similar dreams, but not as intense as this, with a theme of water. And I'll get into the water thing later, because one of my other friends who saw the dream, and I'm having Jerry interpret it when he gets a chance. But anyway, okay, we have dear friends from New York, and long story short, we go there every summer for 50 years. Okay, the dock is there along one into the lake. In this dream, a number of people were in the lake house, a good number, friends. I mean, she's never had so many people at the lake house at once. This plays into it, too. Friends, including me and Laura. But Laura said they were, now this is the weird part. They were four younger children with her. Now, we thought of foster caring children. I don't know if that's maybe when we come back. I don't know. Not hers, and not sure who they were, but with her. And she was in charge of them. Okay. All of a sudden... And here we go. All of a sudden, the lake turned frothy, and the water became more agitated. Now, this is usually a calm lake. It's a 65-mile lake. Agitated. But no one was really paying too much attention to it. This bothered her. But then it started to rise. The water started to rise. Still at the first, the others were nonplussed.
But then it came to the kitchen door, and all realized this could be a real problem with flooding, and why was the water coming up like this? Then they started to get concerned. Then the dream gets more intense. Somehow Laura is still able to get on the dock. This is kind of whatever, the dock, and the boat is there. They have a boat. Anyway, she wants the kids and herself to get away, I guess, and anyone else as well. And she has the four kids and is trying hard to get life jackets to fit them. But the little one, a girl, keeps falling into the water as the life jacket is too big and falls off. Yet Laura is frantically trying to get a smaller one. They all go back to the house, and then it really gets weird. In the living room were chairs set up, and all the guests and family were sitting in them. I mean, a lot of people, calm for some reason. And then Laura looks out the window, and the sky changes. One half of the sky turned dark like night, in an arc of dark, meaning the day part, and stayed as that for a little bit, and the silence, dead silence. It was so quiet and unearthly, this silence, and everybody in the room was just silent. Then she heard people screaming from somewhere. Just before this took place, she was shown a scene of billboards that reflected the type of day we were living in, with everyone just into their toys and things, totally absorbed in material interests and not God, like a wake-up call. And also a scene of certain kinds of people. You can use your imagination for who these people were. I don't want to go into it. Totally oblivious to God, as they were dancing and listening with headphones on and not paying any attention to the things of God. She could not reach them. No one listened or wanted to. Very tragic, the emotion, like lost. When she saw the dark sky, that people would absolutely freak, and they did. But it was not the group in the house, and that's important. She assured them to stay peaceful and that it was going to be okay. I, too, chimed in to say similar with her, and I explained about the rapture, etc. Not too much was said because everything changed. All of a sudden, everything changed again. Now, this is weird. This part is weird. All of a sudden, there were fireworks, like rainbows all over, in heart shapes and shooting up from the ground, and everyone was excited that something special was about to take place. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't think Laura knew, is this from heaven or people? She didn't know who was setting up the fireworks. They were gorgeous. She never saw anything like it in her life. It was powerful, all in rainbows, all in hearts, all happy, happy stuff. But there was happiness. I think it represented the rapture, like maybe he was taking us in. Then it all ended, totally perplexed as to what were these rainbows, very beautiful in different shapes, etc., heart shapes. And then it changed. She did not know why. She felt God was saying, like, time is up. I've had enough. This was the strongest feeling she got. That is why it is so disturbing to her. These souls who did not listen, would not listen, their time was up. All the flavors of the time we are living in passed before her, the wars, the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the economy, the way people are living, the strange weather, everything we went before, like God showed her all this. And the feeling, this is it, he's had enough, it's time. She never had such a strong dream. One more awesome thing happened when she put the dogs downstairs before seeing me, and this is really interesting. She was not going to go out downstairs, but felt compelled to step out where the dogs were, like she had to do it. It was so different. It was about 8:45 or 9 a.m., about the time I was up too, and boinged up, you know, and she could not. And when she was outside, she could not look at the sun. It was so bright. Now, this is not even 9 o'clock quite at night, the morning. It was so bright. It was so unusual, with rays coming through a mist that was arising from the ground and roads below the mountain we live on. It was like a spiritual experience. She felt that God was in this, so peaceful and beautiful, so different. And then when she got to the back of the door to go in, she looked back, it all disappeared. Nothing. Just like that. No mist, no rays. Nothing, like it was never there. And she feels like God was doing that for her. And she says that he does stuff like that, and to let her know he's in it all and not to fear, but to be ready. So that was the dream that she had. And she came up with tears. She was like, not shaking, but she was like so enamored by it, you know. So that's what happened today. Yeah. Yeah, and she's a lovely soul, my daughter. Yeah, she's a very lovely soul. She's 47 years old, and she's at work, and she always prays to God what to do, and she always says, I want to serve, I want to help. She's the one who volunteered to stay. She said she'd fight, and I said, well, my friend Judy says that you should really come up with us, and then you guys can all go back as comebacks, and then you can do your thing. Like, you don't have to stay and not come with us, you know. And she was worried about a dog. I said, the dog goes too. She has a Tibetan Spaniel. It's like her kid. I said, you don't have to worry about any of that. So you see what God was doing? Yeah. Now, I sent this to one of my friends, and she says, yes, it's like the days of Noah. And I thought the water. Laura's had these dreams before with water, water, water. Would the water designate, like, Noah, the days we're living in? It's all connected. I know it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So that was shown to me, that someone was thinking that. Yeah. Yeah.
The,
so that was
the one thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's so awesome. The part where it, I mean, I want to go back to it. You know, because Jesus is the water of life. He's the living water. So all of that is connected. But then here, this part. One half of the sky turned dark like night.
Yeah, real dark
in
like
the night.
Night.
Of dark meeting the day part and stayed as that for a little bit. And then silence, dead silence.
Dead silence, unearthly silence, like unreal silence. I'm thinking about half hour of silence in heaven.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought of.
That's
so
what I was thinking.
So she is
of.
Starting to see in my...
Oh, yeah.
She's starting to see the tribulation.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting. Is she's beginning to see the tribulation, and if she's beginning to see the tribulation... That is just more of an indication we're just about out of here. We're out of here now.
But we were safe in that house. We were safe in that house. Maybe that was like
the
representative of an ark.
That's the ark.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there were more people in the house than there were ever in the house. And there were a lot of chairs and people sitting very calmly, but confused. And Laura and I had explained it. I probably did more of the explaining. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, did this dream startle her? Because I know you said she's had dreams in the past.
Yes,
with
water.
Kind of
she's always had dreams of water on the lake, but this one was like what I read, it was really like a lot. You know, it startled her.
I could tell when
she came up. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because you sent an email out that looked like amazing. So did she admit that this is one of her most powerful, like that she knew this was God? Like,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely knew it was God. He showed her the sin in the world. He showed her, I don't want to talk on public, because we're on public. In private, I could tell you who those people were that she saw that were dancing around. And I mean, you can use your imagination, you know. Yeah, I don't want to go into the kind of people they were. Yeah, and they weren't listening to her. They had headphones on. She was trying to tell, I guess she was trying to preach God, and they were just flipping her off, you know. They were like, get out of here. And just totally, totally lost. Totally oblivious.
Right.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And she felt heartbroken. But God was like saying, "I, it's time, I've had enough." And I said, Laura, there's others getting this. You're not the only one. I've sent her some stuff. But these are the people that I have talked to about the rapture and talked about the rapture, and they yes me to death.
Mm-hmm.
And until God is ready to move. Now, Gerald heard me the whole time, too, talking with the dream. She heard it, too. You know, and I'm sure maybe her kids heard us talking because we were talking loud. But she, even the dogs were weird this morning. I mean, I thought, and I said, you know, they can sense an earthquake and stuff. I don't know why they were acting so weird, you know, because we don't have earthquakes or something. But then when she went outside with the dogs, the sun is so bright lately. Usually she can look at it. She can't look at it at all. And the beams of rays were coming through the mist. It was definitely a spiritual experience. And when she looked back, it had totally disappeared, everything. Everything, the mist, everything disappeared. Yeah. And she says God does this with her. She's a sensitive empath. What is that empath word? We are extremely sensitive. She feels everything, you know. I bought her a car one time. She knew, and Keith went downstairs, and she knew I had bought her a car, and was handing her the keys.
Trust me, I believe that because I know your children, different ones of them, have some special needs here and there. But I'm telling you, Lord works through these kids powerfully. My brother, everyone knows his story. I'll give you an update. He's in prison. Sorry, he's not in prison. He's in a county jail, waiting to be sentenced. You know, they've decided that you know it's a mental problem. So. You know, and now that he's on some really good medications, he's a lot more clear, but he's a total, complete Jesus nut. I mean, like, my sister went to go see him, and she said, no, it's not like a creepy nut. He's, like, amazing. She's like, God is moving on him so strong, because my sister goes to visit him every week. And she's like, you should hear the things he's saying. She gets so blessed by going to visit him in jail.
Wow.
And he knows. He said, you tell Judy, but that's not my real name, but her that I know she's right. Because he was ridiculing me, that he was like, oh, I know it's going to happen, but he was still giving me a hard time. I'm telling him any second, I'm telling you, he's coming. And I was trying to encourage him because he was in such a bad situation, but it really wasn't encouraging him. But that's how the Lord had me talking. I'm a jackass. I got to tell you what the truth is, you know. And I know people get tired of hearing me say the same thing, but that's my job. So, you know, I'm telling him, you know, but he said, you know, tell her now. Tell her I believe everything she told me. I know he's coming, like, any day.
Yes.
And, yeah, and I said, don't be surprised. I said, tell Donald Teeny when you go to see him yesterday, I said, tell him Jesus is probably going to break him out of that prison, out of that jail. It's not
prison.
He's in jail because when he was cop, he was walking the street.
Like Paul and Silas.
And a cop picked him up because he was really cold and they didn't want him to freeze to death. And then they put him in a mental home and he got mad and hit the doctor and then he ended up in jail. So, but anyway, long story short, he's totally on fire. But these people are sensitive. My brother is so sensitive. You should hear, my sister is telling me all this stuff. She comes home all fired up. She's like, God is really moving through him, and it's not like the weird stuff, you know. He's not talking like weird God. Like, he's talking like real God stuff. Because, you know, sometimes things get a little weird when people are in sin, but not. He's totally not in sin anymore. He is like, no, I'm waiting for God. So I just wanted to say that, like, they're sensitive.
Yeah, Laura. Yes. Yeah. No, Laura's not one of them, the special needs one. She's quite the normal, you know. I mean it lovingly. But she's very sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's this guy wants to marry her. She doesn't want to get married. And she's got the two kids,
now,
you know.
She
got the cart before the horse, but that's okay, you know. Everybody loves each other.
So did this dream startle her?
Yes. She's finally believing. She says, I know what she knows what I'm talking about. She knows, because we were talking about the people sitting in the chair when all this, the sky was changing, and I was trying to explain the rapture to them and not to be afraid, be at peace, which we were. And then she was saying, yes, I'm telling them this too. And she was like trying to talk over me almost. She was, you know, it was like good. Like shutting me up, and she was going to talk, you know. It was cute. And I said, whoa, right on. You're getting it now. See, when God wants to move, he'll move. And all the prayers and all the fussing we have about when are they ever going to believe, like, bam, hit him on the head. That's what happened to her. Yeah, she's very spiritual anyway. She's a lovely, caring teacher at a daycare, and she's got a heart of gold. She's very, very spiritual, and she's a fighter. She's got a mouth on her. Yeah, you think you got a mouth on you? No, you don't have a mouth on you, not like this one. But she stands up for truth. She stands for it with the pleadings. This one stands up for God, you know. It's hysterical. She's just very honest. Very, very honest, and will tell you right like it is. But she's totally loving, too. She's totally loving. Yeah, very loving and very happy, cheerful all the time, you know, just, you know, yeah. So, but this when I saw her come upstairs and the look on her face, I knew something was up, and she says, I have to tell you this dream I had. And then this all led into this, you know. And then the dogs are weird.
I really think she is, you know, she's seen a combination of the rapture and the tribulation.
Well, God showed her, Carol,
know, the world and the way the world is right now.
God showed
know,
her what he was seeing.
Yeah,
he let her see what he was seeing, and what that made him sick. You know, sick at heart.
God knows his own. He knows his people. He knows his children.
Oh, of course.
And he knows how to draw them to himself.
Well, he just did,
you know,
boy.
So
wow, big time.
You know, he's really doing a super duper awesome wake up call on your daughter. You know, and you know,
the other one believes too. The other one, you know, she's pretty much in our corner.
Yeah.
You know, Geraldine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Miriam, sort of, yeah. The grandkids, you can pray for them.
look at my niece. Yeah,
I know, I hear you. Yeah, that's what I have with the other two.
And here's the weird thing. You know, she's so awful to her mom, but her mom has a couple of kitties at her house. And she's so lovey-dovey with the kitties. She's a kitty person, and she loves, and she gives lovey-dovey to her kitties, but she's so awful to her mom. But I told my sister-in-law, mm-hmm. God's going to get her, and I told her she's going to have a Saul of Tarsus experience, and my sister-in-law didn't know what that
mm-hmm.
meant. And I told her, well,
mm-hmm.
he's just going to...
Knock off the horse, honey.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's just we're really in exciting times because any moment now we're gonna leave. And
oh, I believe
that. We're all getting a text. Like I told her, okay, you know, I told you what happened, and I explained to you how, Ephesians 6 says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but
right.
against the principalities and powers of the end, the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, right? Okay. Well, you know, here I'm giving her this really... pumped up Bible thumping speech, right?
Yes.
And I sent it off, and I'm just like on top of the world, just on the spiritual high, just in the presence of the Lord.
Oh yeah.
Awesome, right? Okay. Wait. So my friend calls me, and oh dear Lord, she's really, really a thorn on my side. Really. I mean, so there she goes on and on and on and blah, 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 blah. And I'm so tired of, listening to it. And we kind of got into it a little bit because it's like, give it up already. If you just focus on the Lord, you're going to be at peace. But no, you keep going over the same. You keep playing the same broken record over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And now she's getting all this, she's got all these other health issues hitting her, right? So, I was fighting with her in my flesh, and I get off the phone and I'm just so irritated with her, just so irritated. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, excuse me, Carol. Didn't you just tell your sister-in-law and her brother that we don't fight against, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against their principalities? Yes, Holy Spirit, yes, indeed. So why were you fighting in the flesh? I don't know,
because
I'm not perfect yet.
I'm not perfect yet. Good one, Carol. Good one. I'm not perfect yet. He's going to buy that one.
but you see, I remember that one. And then just a couple of minutes ago, she texted me and said, because she's staying at a friend's house who doesn't live too far from me, and she said, "Carol, I can't take staying here anymore. I'm getting vertigo really bad. She's got Meniere's disease, meaning that there's a blockage in her ear, and so she can't hear very well. And not only is it affecting her hearing, but she's getting vertigo from it as well.
I have the same thing.
And so she is And so she says, you don't have to take me to my mom's, to her mom's, but, I can stay with you if you don't want to go, but I just need to get out of here. And I could tell in through, you know, her voice, the text voice, that she's really not in a good place. That she's really stressing, and I know it's because God is pulling her, and she's fighting him. She's fighting him. I know. I just know it. So instead of, you know, arguing and I instead of letting her have it, I just said, I'll let me know what you want to do tomorrow. I'll pick you up and we'll, if you want to stay here, fine. If you want to go to your mom's, fine. I'll take you, but try to get some rest and get close to the Lord. Say, you know, stay focused by praying. Pray tonight. Just as you go to sleep, just pray. And so I said, so, you know, and I felt the peace of God on me. So, you know, it's like this afternoon I was just livid, and then, and in fact, a couple of hours ago, and I was, you know, mulling through all this stuff, I told the Lord, will you please take her out of my life, that the whole family, you know, they're making the drama.
I'm so
frustrated with them.
Oh, my goodness.
How frustrated I get. You know,
oh, wow. Well, I don't
God,
feel
God
so bad. No,
me.
Don't. But it's frustrating.
But
you talk to someone over
me.
And over and over, and they just don't seem to get it. And you feel like, gee whiz, you know, when does this one ever get it? You know, like, I'm wearing myself out, Lord.
You want to bop them over the head a couple of times.
Yes, right, 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 right. Gotcha, gotcha.
But
gotcha.
You know what? you know, the Lord is using me. He is using me, and so I just have to be patient. And that's
you might be the only Jesus she meets.
Oh dear Lord, have mercy on me.
You're trying. T for effort. E for try. E for effort. T for try. Don't beat yourself up so much. You're trying.
Well,
it's hard.
It's hard. Yes. And we all have our challenges. You know, we have.
Yes, we do.
We have people who are in our lives that just, you know, they just pluck our last nerve. You know,
I
that's
know.
Just the way it is.
I know.
But
I
God
have it here.
Is so good.
Yeah,
he's
I have
so
it here.
Great. He's so awesome, and he's
sure.
going to take care of all of this. And he's going to put
yes,
it behind us, and he makes all things new. And we give him glory and praise, and we give him thanks because he's coming for us.
Oh,
that's
yes.
our greatest reward.
He's oh, boy,
for
yeah.
any moment.
That's for
too.
Sure.
Carol,
yeah.
I wanted to tell you
yes?
that you are perfect for the job, for the family. That's why he chose you. So even your imperfections were designed perfectly to work within that family unit in those situations. He knew who he was working with when he chose to use you to work with them. So, you know, your imperfections only make the work greater in you. Just remember that you are perfect. Mm. You are perfect. The job he has you do in the realm that he has you in, you're the perfect candidate for the job. He chose you. And even your imperfections, I have noticed a lot in my imperfections, that's when he has gotten even more glory because
wow.
You know,
yeah.
If you come across as always, you know, the Lord has to shine the beautiful light on all sides of our personalities. And
it's
so
exactly.
just know that you're the perfect person for the job, weaknesses and all, flaws and all, in
yes,
that family
yes.
and in this
and,
whole situation, he chose you to do it, and you did a good job. And I'm barfing right now because I'm looking at Fox News, and on the front it says, Obama acknowledges California attack. Was active terrorism. Confident military will defeat terrorist plotters. He says the U.S. military will continue to hunt down terrorist plotters, and and the country is indeed at war with terrorism.
Duh.
Around the world,
and that's new
on earth soil.
But what you all said at the beginning, I think Rosemary wrote. That Obama is going to destroy ISIS, right? You know, and I wrote, so he can look like a hero. And then you added, You, Judy, added, yes, because he wants to look good for the world, and that's how he's going to, you know, sneak himself into making himself be the world leader. Oh, it was through my leadership that we defeated ISIS, even though he created ISIS.
Mm-hmm. Russia's killing ISIS.
There is proof. There is cold hard evidence that we, Obama, was supplying, U.S., was supplying ISIS with all of their
CIA,
weapons. How do you
yeah.
think they... And so what I'm saying is, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, do we know what's so sad, though, is the majority of people, they're
are
stupid.
Dumb.
They're watching their reality shows. And when we go in cameras,
really.
They're like,
yeah.
Oh, no, Obama's a good guy. He's helping fight it. No, Obama built it up.
No.
But
yeah. Dose
so,
stupid.
This nothing new. I was
move along. Nothing to see here. Move along.
But yeah, and he said, indeed, the country is at war, both on American
Duh.
Soil and abroad. But you know what? We already know we're at war. We already knew that because you
nothing new
are the warmonger that God allowed to.
But see,
okay.
Russia's
God,
onto it. Russia's onto it. You should hear how Putin addresses, tell your dictator he can go to hell, you know, your American dictator.
Yeah,
oh,
I know. I know.
Yeah, oh, it's bad. He knows who's doing what, you know.
Yeah. Really good stuff.
And now Turkey and Russia are at each other's throats, so it's not good. They sank one of the Russian ships, the Turkish did, so I don't know, by the
Anytime
straits or
now.
Whatever. Yeah, and the boots are on the ground, apparently. I don't know. I'm seeing it articles.
I don't think so, Pat.
Really?
What you told me from the Debka files, that's true. But those aren't boots on the ground. Those are their tanks and stuff, that artillery
yeah.
that shoot.
Getting there.
Aren't boots on the ground. Yeah, it's one step closer to it, but it's not boots on the ground. And,
not quite yet.
It's a large amount. It's not just because there's already probably a couple hundred special forces that have been there since the start. But what I mean is, it's going to
yeah.
be when that big bear. It was a really big bear. It's going to be over 100,000 troops, is what I'm guessing. But that hasn't
mm-hmm.
occurred yet. That
mm-hmm.
one news source you sent, that I didn't believe that one, but the one that you sent today,
mm-hmm.
that's true. You reported it yesterday that they are sending the artillery. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Artillery. To the front,
yeah.
and that's really cool. That's encouraging because usually what follows that are massive amounts of troops. So,
Judy,
so
isn't there a prophecy about Istanbul being taken by the Russians and that that God's on his way for sure? Because Russia's getting closer and closer to Turkey stuff.
Yeah, and you know who's doing a really good job at explaining all that is Stephen Ben-Danoon. He's really fleshing out those prophecies really well. If you guys want to listen to him,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's kind of wrapping it all up and putting it together pretty nicely. It's pretty cool that we have people
mm-hmm.
that are pulling it, the details
they think,
like that.
And
so.
They think the Dome of the Rock will be attacked. That'll be attacked
mm-hmm.
soon by somebody. Yeah. And that goes, it's really
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I think
mm-hmm.
that's going to happen. But I think all of those things are going to happen the most
simultaneously.
You go. Thank you. Okay. And
mm-hmm.
all of that is going to create chaos, and we are going to be leaving right throughout all this chaos. And
yeah.
they're not going to know that we're gone. We're not going to be affected. We're not going to be touched by any of this.
No.
We're just going, and nobody's going to... Nobody's going to be looking for us because they're going to be too busy, hiding themselves hiding under the rocks, if you will, because of everything going on. They're going to. This World War III that is about to occur.
On again, off again.
Is nothing like World War I or II.
No, you can't define it. You can't connect the dots. There's too many people over there. No,
yeah,
it's just crazy.
This is
all over the place.
So, mm-hmm. So this is really exciting. I'm very, very excited. And I know
every day.
You know what? for me, it's like because of my sister-in-law and her brother, the fire in my belly is just wow. It's out of this galaxy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is, you know, when I'm writing and sharing, writing on, the emails or talking to them, and I get off the phone or send off the email, you know, the anointing and the presence of God is so strong that I think the Lord is doing that in me right now, because we've all been a little bit weary. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and I need that fire, you know, in me.
Yeah.
And he's reminding me. He is constantly reminding me, not so much that we're going to take off like Elijah. You know how I love 2 Kings chapter 2, because Elisha and the prophets knew that Elijah was going to be translated. They knew the day. They knew the very day he was going.
Yeah.
And because of that passage, I have believed with all my heart that we are going to know. But the Lord is shifting my thoughts, and with this fire in my belly, he's been shifting my thoughts to think more like Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. And I think we're all experiencing this. You know, everybody's saying, you know, we're not everybody. And if there are people who are listening that are not waking up or staying up, or, you know, they don't have this quote fire, that doesn't mean that they don't have the fire of the Lord. And God works differently with everyone. But I feel that there's a lot more people now that are just, the Lord is waking up at all hours, or giving them dreams or visions. It's just intensifying. It's increasing and intensifying. And I believe that it's because we are, you know, about to leave. And that's why so many of us are, are staying, you know, waking up or staying up or praying late into the night whatever we're doing.
Amen. That's for sure. Yowzers.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah,
amen.
So it's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, then the bride say,
Come, Lord
come,
Jesus.
Well, I'm going to go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to play a song, and then let's call it a night. I got to go do some schoolwork with my son.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Has everyone shared what they wanted to share?
Oh,
really
fine.
Good
everything.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's it.
Absolutely.
Okay. That was
good.
Really good. It was like testimony night. Thank you, Carol.
Oh,
thank you, Todd. This was
sure.
Thank you, Jesus. I love you guys. I will see you in the air. I really think so.
Amen. Love you too,
definitely.
Judy. And we'll see each other in the air really,
you.
Really soon. Tonight. In the name of Jesus. All right. Good
night,
tonight,
guys. Love you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
come on.